Penguin Random House Audio presents Cup of Gold, A Life of Sir Henry Morgan, Buccaneer, with occasional reference to history, by John Steinbeck. Read for you by Ronan Vibert. Chapter 1. All afternoon the wind sifted out of the Black Welsh Glens, crying notice that winter was come sliding down over the world from the pole. And Riverwood, there was the faint moaning of new ice. It was a sad day, a day of grey unrest, of discontent. The gently moving air seemed to be celebrating the loss of some gay thing with a soft, tender elegy. But in the pastures great workhorses nervously stamped their feet, and all through the country small brown birds in cliques of four or five flew twittering from tree to tree and back again, seeking and calling in recruits for their southing. A few goats clambered to the tops of high lone rocks and long stared upward with their yellow eyes and sniffed the heavens. The afternoon passed slowly, procession-like, with an end of evening, and on the heels of the evening an excited wind rushed out, rustled in the dry grasses, and fled whimpering across the fields. Night drew down like a black cowl, and Holy Winter sent his nuncio to Wales. Beside the high road which lined the valley, ran up through a cleft in the hills, and so out into the world, there stood an ancient farmhouse, built of heavy stones and thatched. The Morgan, who had built it, played against time and nearly won. Inside the house a fire was burning on the hearth, an iron kettle hung over the blaze, and a black iron oven hid in the coals which fell about the edges of the flame. The brisk firelight glinted on the tips of long-handled pikes in racks upon the walls, weapons unused in the 100 years since Morgan clamoured in Glendower's ranks and trembled with rage at the flinty lines of Iolo Goch. The wide brass bindings of a great chest which stood in a corner sucked in the light and glowed resplendently. Papers there were in the chest, and parchments, and stiff, untanned skins, written in English and Latin, and the old Cymric tongue. Morgan was born, Morgan was married, Morgan became a knight, Morgan was hanged. Here lay the history of the house, shameful and glorious. But the family was few now, and little enough likely to add records to the chest, other than the simple chronicle, Morgan was born and died. There was old Robert, for instance, sitting in his high-backed chair, sitting and smiling into the fire. His smile was perplexity and a strange passive defiance. You would have said he sought to make that fate which was responsible for his being a little ashamed of itself by smiling at it. Often he wearily considered his existence, ringed around with little defeats which mocked it as street children torment a cripple. It was strange to old Robert that he, who knew so much more than his neighbours, who had pondered so endlessly, should be not even a good farmer. Sometimes he imagined he understood too many things ever to do anything well. And so old Robert sipped the burned ale of his own experimenting and smiled into the fire. His wife would be whispering excuses for him, he knew, and the labourers in the fields removed their hats to Morgan, not to Robert. Even his aged mother, Gwenliana, here beside him, shivering to the fire as though the very wind sounds about the house called in the cold to her, was not so judged incompetent. In the cottages there was a little fear of her and a great respect. Any day when she sat in the garden, holding her necromantic court, you might see some tall farm lad blushing and hugging his hat across his chest while he listened to Gwenliana's magic. For many years now she had been practising the second sight and taking pride in it. And though the family knew her prophecies to be whole guesses, whose shrewdness grew less sharp with her years, they listened to her with respect and simulated awe and asked of her the location of lost things. When after one of her mystic recitations the scissors were not discovered under the second board of the shed floor, they pretended to find them there anyway. For had she lost the robe of augury, there would have remained only a little wrinkled old woman soon to die.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?